Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. We're live on the air right now with the Basic Gospel. Keep listening, and you'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been wrestling with the subject of forgiveness the last several days on the Basic Gospel broadcast. We're going to continue to talk about this subject. It is so vitally important to our day-to-day experience of Christ Jesus. We need to recognize the fact that Christ took away our sins once for all, come to that point of rest in his finished work. That's where the New Testament is leading us. That's where all the writers of the Bible are leading us to, is that place where we can rest in what Christ Jesus has accomplished for us. And rest is a sure sign that you have responded to the gospel message by faith. And so is an attitude of thanksgiving. When you know Christ has taken away your sins and you respond to him with an attitude of thanksgiving when you sin today, you know that only Jesus' work on the cross could have brought about the forgiveness you so desperately needed. So that's what we're going to continue to talk about. Like I said, it is vitally, vitally important. But we can't talk about forgiveness in a vacuum. It's not one of those subjects that's just isolated. It is contained in this whole gospel story, this whole gospel narrative. Jesus Christ came into this world so that we might have life. That's the whole thing. That's the whole issue of the gospel. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they forfeited life. But now through Christ's work and his death, burial, and resurrection, he brings life back into the equation. He enables us to be made new, to be raised, to walk in the newness of life, just as he was resurrected bodily. That's the whole story. But before life could be given, sin had to be dealt with. There was no way that Jesus could give us life without dealing with the sin.
Right.
And sin is what killed us. Sin was the death sentence. Sin brought death. The wages of sin is death. So you and I come into this world dead spiritually, separated from the life of God. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead so that we could be restored back to life,
yeah.
So that we could receive life. And for him to do it, he had to take away the sin issue. We posted a question on our Facebook page. You know, when did the light bulb moment come on for you as far as the forgiveness of sins is concerned? And everybody who posted said, when I realized that salvation was more than forgiveness. Dave wrote from Kansas City, the light went on when I understood what it truly means to pass from death to life. Salvation is life. Brian wrote the very same thing. Understood that all our sins were forgiven, past, present, and future, and once and for all by Christ's death on the cross. And he goes on to talk about that unfortunately, we just concentrate on forgiveness of sins instead of recognizing the whole package, that salvation is life. Kathy said the same thing. It's all about life in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And when you recognize what salvation is, you know that forgiveness had to be the prerequisite.
Sure.
As we've talked about many times, forgiveness is the bridge to life. The cross of Jesus Christ spans that chasm between life in him and death in sin. When that cross bridges that chasm, we walk over, we leave death behind and embrace new life in Jesus.
And that is good news.
Yes, it is.
This is, of course, Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. And if you'd really like to join us and pose a Bible question, or if there's something specific you'd like to talk about, perhaps in the arena of forgiveness, why, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call wherever you hear the broadcast in the U.S. or Canada, 1-800-677-9377. And guys, a question from Tom from Littlefield, Texas says, what is your understanding of the doctrine of election? Are some people not chosen by God to be saved? That's from Tom in Littlefield, Texas.
It's a small, simple question, but loaded, let me tell you.
Yeah,
there's
question.
Yeah, there's a lot behind that. So the idea of election, what, Richard, does the word elect mean? What does it mean from a Greek standpoint?
To choose.
To choose, okay,
yes.
To call out. Mm-hmm. So God is calling out a people, and he's doing that through Jesus. He's calling out a people to be called his own. And the blood of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, that's the calling card. That's what he's sending out to the world. But those who are elected are those who respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether they're Jew or whether they're Gentile. That's the whole subject of election in a very short answer. We think that it's all about individuals, that God has predestined one person for salvation and predestined the next person for damnation.
Right.
So there's a double predestination. That's what a lot of the Reformed theology really talks about, is double predestination, that God looks at you, Richard, and says, I'm saving you, looks at Bob Davis and says, I'm choosing not to save you.
Sounds good to me. Sounds pretty bad to Bob.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Speechless.
Yeah. But when you look at the context of those passages that talk about election, it's never in terms of individuals. It's always in terms of people groups. So that God elected to save some from the Gentile world, just as he elected to save some from the Jewish world. And those that he elected to save were those who responded to the good news of Jesus Christ. So if we'll see it in that context, that it's about Jew and Gentile, God predestined that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, that's a very unifying message.
Yeah.
It will bring us together. If we look at it in any other terms, it becomes a line of division. And as we've talked about, if you've ever had a conversation about predestination, you know it doesn't stay a conversation very long. Man, it flares up into
sure.
an argument and can, you know, many times get into just an all-out fight, mm-hmm. you know, an emotional fight where you're accusing the person who doesn't agree with you that they're not saved, they're accusing you that you're not saved, and you just walk away and it just becomes a fiasco.
Yeah.
But if we really see it for what it is a unifying truth, which God intended it to be.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. 1-800-677-9377, whatever you want to talk about, give us a call. If you have a particular Bible passage that you can't quite understand, we'd like to help. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Queens and talk to Maxine. Hi, Maxine.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks. Well, thank you so much. I have a question. Is it in the Bible, and if so, where, that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the earth? And what do you guys have to say about this?
Well, Maxine, it is in the Word of God. I believe it's in the book of Revelation. Richard is looking for that right now, but I think it's in the book of Revelation. But what it means is this, is that God always had a plan to save mankind, and Jesus Christ was always that plan. So before Adam and Eve even sinned, Jesus was already equipped to be that once-for-all sacrifice for sin. So,
okay.
So Adam and Eve's sin did not take God by surprise. He wasn't shocked. Oh, my goodness, here I created Adam and Eve. I put them in a garden, just this perfect utopia. I've provided everything for them, and they've gone astray. They believe this serpent guy, and they ate of the fruit that I told them not to eat of. And you know, what was I thinking? I just didn't even anticipate that could have been a possibility. That's not the way it worked out. God was not surprised by the sin of Adam and Eve, and he knew that in advance and had a plan to take care of that in advance, the Lamb of God. And that references Revelation 13:8.
Okay, thank you so much for that. So does that mean that Jesus was like in heaven or wherever, that he was slain already, and then when he was crucified like some 2,000 years ago, that was like just a manifestation of what was already done before?
Well, I don't think he was, Jesus was with God in the beginning. He was God, and then he became flesh, and it was in that flesh that he became the sin offering. We needed somebody of like us to take away our sin, so Jesus became one of us, and he stepped into our shoes and took upon himself the wrath of God so that we could be set free, so that our sins could be forgiven, and so that we could receive new life in him. So I think he was always the plan of God, but then that plan was manifested at a certain point in time, at the right time, as Paul said in the book of Galatians. So it wasn't like he was crucified before the foundation of the world. He was the plan. He was the Lamb of God. Already slain as far as God was concerned, but it took place 2,000 years ago.
I see how you're putting it. All right. So thank you so much for that.
You're welcome, Maxine. Thanks for your call.
Lines are wide open. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to put Maxine on hold and send her a copy of our offer this month, Love Is. Let me put you on hold, Maxine. We'll send you a gift, okay?
And, of course, Bob's book, Love Is all about the truth of God's love for you. It's available to you right now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And if you would like to have a copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or call our customer service line, 1-800-727-2828, and speak with our operator, Billy. She'll be glad to take care of your request for the book and your contribution to the ministry. But for a gift of any amount this month, Bob's book, Love Is yours. Again, basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828. And the lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, this is your best opportunity, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, from our friend Tori, he lives in Lubbock, Texas. She says, I've learned from you that the only unforgivable sin is the sin of unbelief. But a friend pointed out Matthew 12:31 and Mark 3:29, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Please help us both understand. I thought Christ took all sins away.
Well, Christ did take all sins away, but there's this condition called death, and that's corrected when we receive the life of God. But it's corrected as we go from unbelief to belief. It's that turning away from that old way of life to this new way of life that is available in Christ. We call that repentance. So ultimately, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the rejection of Christ Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 12, it's kind of interesting. What were the Pharisees saying about the work of Jesus Christ, the miracles he was performing? Who were they attributing that work to?
Oh, yeah.
Beelzebub.
Yeah. You know, the Lord of the Flies, the Prince of Demons. Satan himself is the source of Jesus' power. And that is in your face, blasphemy of the
right.
Holy
Spirit. So he was doing that work by the power of God's Spirit,
mm-hmm.
working through him, and yet they were looking at that and saying, that's the work of the devil. Mm-hmm. And if we look at what the Spirit is doing today, and what the Spirit is doing today is bringing this message of Christ to people all over, and if folks look at that and say, that's really the work of Satan, I'm rejecting that, they're doing the same thing that those Pharisees were.
Yes.
So ultimately, it's the rejection of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That is the unpardonable sin.
Yeah. Tori, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And again, 1-800-677-9377. Lines are available right now.
Let's go to New Jersey and talk to Virginia, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Virginia.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks.
How can we help you today?
I have a question about Adam and Eve.
Ask away, Virginia.
Okay. If Adam and Eve never sinned, would we still sin today?
Well, that's a great question, great Virginia. Question. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is they did sin. So we just have to realize that that's the way it is. But I would imagine that if God had in mind a plan to send Jesus before he created mankind, I think he probably knew, given the right temptations, that we would give in to them, that we would choose to try to become like God, and we would sin. So I think if Adam and Eve probably had not done so, somebody else would have.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, so you know that you've sinned and you need Jesus in your life, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, have you received Jesus?
Yes.
That's great news, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like knowing the love of Jesus Christ, is there?
No.
How old are you?
I am 9.
You are 9 years old. Well, that is wonderful to hear, and I love your question. It is a fantastic question.
Thank you.
Well, let me put you on hold, Virginia. We'd love to send you a little gift just to say thank you for calling us today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay? Hang on, Virginia. Thanks for your call.
Really nice to hear
You're
from
welcome.
You.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Tommy in Louisville, Kentucky, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, how y'all guys doing? Hey, I've got a Christian friend that mentioned this before, and I understand the first part of it, but I don't understand the second part of it. He said grace is something that God gives us that we don't deserve, and mercy is something that he doesn't give us that we do deserve. I understand the first part, but I thought mercy was a good thing.
Well, mercy is a good thing, but you know, here would be an illustration of that, Tommy. Say you are driving down one of the streets of Louisville in your car, and you're going really, really fast, and you look in your rearview mirror, and there's the lights just a twirling, and you hear the siren, and so you pull over, and the cop comes up to you and says you have violated the law. And
you know, that's kind of strange because I am a cop.
Okay. And so the law in that particular situation would say that you deserve a ticket, and with that ticket comes a fine. That's your punishment. But just say, for example, the person that pulled you over is having a particularly good day, and he says, I am choosing to withhold this justice. I'm not going to write the ticket for you. That would be a case of mercy. But he's having a really, really good day, and he says, you know, here's $100. Go out and enjoy a nice lunch on me. That would be an illustration of grace. So you didn't get the ticket that you deserved, and you got $100 that you didn't deserve.
Okay.
So what God does, you deserve punishment for sin. Jesus Christ took that punishment. So the wrath of God was turned aside from you and went upon Jesus. That's called mercy. So you don't receive the punishment that you justly deserve. But you certainly don't deserve to be made alive in Christ. Well, it's God's grace that makes you alive in Christ because of the work of Jesus on your behalf. So grace is making you alive together with Christ. So that's you getting something that you don't deserve because Jesus took something that you did deserve.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
You gave me some clarity on that, and I thank you for that. That's been bugging me for quite a while. I asked a couple of church members, but I couldn't get no answers from them, so I'm riding along today, and I heard your show, and I said it's open line. So thank you very much, okay?
Oh, well, sure glad you called. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a gift just to say thank you.
Well, appreciate that, okay? And bless your ministry, okay?
Hey, thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, Tommy.
You call anytime.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to, we're going to go to New Jersey and talk to Virgimina. Is that your name?
Yes, that's my name.
Well, nice to hear from you. How can we help you today?
Yes, God bless you. And I have a question.
because I've been reading the Bible for a long time, and I also read other books to compare. And if Jesus, this is very confusing to me, if Jesus is the Son of God, how come people say that he is God? Because he cannot be God and the Son at the same time. It's got to be two different people.
Well, that's great. That's a great question. And when it talks about Jesus being the Son of God, it's making a statement that he is of the same essence, the same nature as God the Father. So do you have children?
Yes, I have one.
Okay. So son or daughter?
It's a son.
Okay. So that child of yours is of the same nature that you are. You're a human being. Your child is a human being. If a dog gives birth, the puppy has a dog nature. So when it's saying that Jesus is the Son of God, it's saying that he's divine, that he has the same nature, the same essence as God the Father. So it's really a statement of divinity, a statement of deity. It's a statement proving the fact that he is God in the flesh.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense because I always think it's two people, two different people, because Jesus prayed to the Father. He says, I am going to the Father. So,
well,
he's going to the Father.
God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus Christ coexisted with God the Father, was in the beginning with God, was indeed God, and at a point in time, he became flesh. He took upon himself our humanity, and he did so for a purpose, and that was to stand in our place, take the punishment that we deserve, be raised back to life so that we could have life everlasting. And he was raised with a spiritual body, and he ascended into heaven in that bodily form. So when we go to be with him, we're going to see him in that bodily form. So there is God the Father that's spirit, and then there's Jesus Christ the Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit. So there's three manifestations, but they all make up the Godhead. It's one God in three persons. That's what we call the Trinity. It's something that our minds have a hard time fully comprehending, but we know it's declared in the Word of God, so we trust it to be true. Well, I hope that helps. Sure, appreciate your call. And let's quickly go to Manhattan and talk to Sean, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I have two questions.
Okay. Well, we'll speak quick. We're just about out of time.
All right. My first question is, the apostle of Jesus before he resurrected from the dead, I spoke to somebody from my church, and they were saying because the apostles were saved before the death, I believe after the blood was shed, they were saved.
Well, they had not received the gift of God's Spirit. They had not been made alive until after the Holy Spirit had been given. That was the whole point of Pentecost. Jesus ascended into heaven. He was given the Holy Spirit to give out to man, and that's what he did at Pentecost. So they were saved kind of on a credit card, just waiting for the gift of God's Spirit. When that came, that's when they were made alive that particular day. Sean, great question. Thanks for calling. Let me put you on hold.
We prepare to close today's broadcast with a reminder that Basic Gospel is dependent upon you, our listeners, for sufficient support to remain on the air Monday through Friday with the truth of God's Word. To say thanks for your generous gift this month, we'll send you a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Love Is. It's all there in Love Is. And how does God love you? That's what you'll find out as you read the pages of Love Is. Yours today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To complete your gift and request your copy, go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. That's 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.